good to see grown men cry. You can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hey, what about that Husky game yesterday, huh? Was that a great game or what? Yeah. Don Bazemore was at the game, and I told him, I said, hey, he was just a section over. I said, if Oregon's ahead at halftime, I said, I'm happy to meet you, like, out in the concourse for comments. If the Huskies are ahead, I don't want to talk to you. At halftime, the Huskies were ahead, and he sent me a little aha, you know, and but at the end, I sent him a happy little celebration emoji, and he sent me a weepy face emoji. So sorry if that affected your weekend in any negative way. Actually, not really. I had a dream once. It was the most awesome dream. All of a sudden in my dream, I knew I could play the piano. And I sat down at the piano and I could play anything I wanted. Every song I wanted to play, I could just play it, and it was perfect and it was awesome. I'm going, man, I could play the piano. Wouldn't you love to just have like a gift like that? All of a sudden, you're just, there it is. It's wonderful, you know. And it's a gift I've always wanted. My parents robbed me of it. I was a child prodigy at age 6, and then after that, no more lessons. We ran out of money or something. I don't know. The piano teacher moved, or we moved, and I didn't get to become the great pianist that I've always dreamed of. I when I was in junior high school and I had a big growth spurt, I thought, I'm going to be able to slam dunk a basketball one day. And I have dreams about that as well. These are two gifts that I am never going to receive. It's at 63, almost 64 years old, I have to realize that there are certain gifts I'm not going to get. I think lots of times in our life, we focus on the gifts we don't have. We focus on the gifts we don't have, the gifts that we wanted, the way it should have been. I should have been a concert pianist who played NBA basketball. Right? But instead, I can't hardly play the piano at all, and my jump reach now at this age is, I think, a full 2 inches off of the ground. This morning, I want us to stop focusing on what we don't have. Stop focusing on the gifts we didn't get. And I would like for us to focus on what we are given. That every single one of you has been given a gift. You are gifted. There's something that the Lord has specifically equipped you with for this body of believers to be a contributor to building up the body of Christ. And so we're going to start taking a look at these things and talking about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ and to be a gifted member of the body of Christ, and that, we're going to get to this later, every single gift is important and every single member of the body is important. And so let's start talking about gifts. And if you're there... And if there's a bit of a quaver in my voice, it's not that I'm getting ready to cry like Rob. I'm freezing. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Who is giving out these gifts? The Spirit. Did you pick up on that? Over and over again, He is emphasizing the work of the Spirit in each and every life. If you have come to Jesus, the work of the Spirit is already active, and He's given you a gift. He starts out here just with a little bit of clarification. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about these gifts. Now, these folks are, many of them are coming out of paganism, and in paganism, does anybody have a Kleenex? In paganism, a lot of these gifts were... It's just so cold, my nose is running. In paganism, they had worship services. And those worship services to these other gods, there were various things that they would do. Just like back in the Old Testament. When Moses, remember, they called the magicians up to Herod, and they were able to actually reproduce some of the same things that Moses was able to do, right? Well, in paganism, there were a lot of correlations, you know, to what was already going on in the church. And so Paul wants to clear up some things. Some of their paganism and some of the practices from that pagan worship was seeping into their current worship service. And we see this in cultures all over the world, right? We've seen it in our own culture where the worship of other gods, all those things have kind of seep over the various superstitions and things kind of leak into the Christian culture. Well, that's what was happening here. And so he wants to address these corollaries. You know, what does it look like? Well, the thing that he wants them to understand, that the distinguishing factor, is it glorifying Jesus? Because in the pagan worship, evidently, there was actually cursing of the name of Jesus. He goes, if that's happening, you know that that's not of the Spirit, because the Spirit will never curse the name of Jesus. In other words, if there are things that are going on in the worship service that begin to diminish who Christ is, it's not of God. It's not of God. Now, many of us saw this very thing happen when Community Chapel was going strong in Burien, right? And all of a sudden, there were some practices within the worship service that began to belie what it meant to be a faithful follower of Christ. And immorality began to be propagated, and there were all this legalism that began to weigh down the members of the church at that time. If it's not glorifying Jesus, if it begins to go against the very teachings in the Word of God, then we know it's not of God. And that's what he's trying to tell them here with this, you know, these corollaries that are happening. And yes, there were people in pagan worship who gave words of instruction, and there were those who were the more knowledgeable ones and the wise ones you went to. There were ecstatic utterances that took place. There were words of prophecy that took place in pagan worship. And he said, we need to distinguish between those things that glorify and lift up the name of Christ and the things that were happening in the pagan worship that you were used to. He goes on, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Notice the reference to the Trinity there as well. This list is not an exhaustive list of the gifts. We have three lists in the New Testament of various gifts, and each one is slightly different or expansive. The Spirit is not in any way limited by the gifts that are given here. These aren't all of them. We don't know what all the gifts are because the Spirit uniquely understands you, first of all, and the Spirit uniquely understands what the body of Christ in that particular location needs. And so he gifts people according to that. There are different kinds of gifts. There are different, and those gifts are seen in the way that people serve, in the way that they work out, in things in the body of Christ. It's unique, it's different, and there's this diversity and variety of gifts that are taking place in the body of Christ. Each manifestation, he says in verse 7, each manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. He did not give you your gift for you. He didn't give you this gift to make you feel better. I have a gift. He didn't give the gift so that you could show people how awesome you were and to glorify and bring glory to yourself. He gave you this gift to share. He gave you a gift for the common good so that everyone would benefit from it. When no one is benefiting from your gift, you're pushing back against the thing that Jesus wants for you. When no one else is benefiting from your gift, you're saying no to the work of the Spirit. So he begins this list, this current list here. And this list is dealing more with the miraculous types of gifts, the gifts that were more common in pagan worship, because this is the problem that the Corinthians are having. He says to one, there's given the spirit of wisdom. It's a good gift, the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom has to do with the capacity to understand and then act with wisdom. It is, the gift of wisdom has the ability of perspective. Perspective and then proper action. A wise person has the ability to step back, look at the big picture, synthesize all that is happening in a current situation, and then enabling people to act properly, responding correctly. It's close to the gift of knowledge, but knowledge has to do more with comprehension. Knowledge is that ability to understand difficult things. Knowledge has to do with, you know, the the guy who could go into these difficult passages of scriptures and kind of plumb the depths of them in a way that others can't. Knowledge is, we were just talking about this kid. I had a friend who was a pastor down in Spanaway of a free church. He ultimately ended up moving because of his 5-6-year-old child. They didn't know what to do with him. He was a math wizard. At age 5 and 6, he was taking math classes at the University of Washington. So he's sitting there in a class with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids and the high-level math classes, and he just got it. You know, it was intuitive to him. And they finally had to, they moved to this place down in California, a larger metropolitan area, where he could actually go to a school and not have to be there with a bunch of young college guys and girls, but actually some kids his own age who were prodigies as well. Knowledge has more to do with that ability to understand and comprehend difficult concepts. He says to another, there's the gift of the faith by the same Spirit. This is not faith for salvation, which everyone has. The gift of faith, as he's talking about here, is this ability to believe the impossible. And it is the ability to continue to believe in the midst of difficulty or tragedy. Things aren't going well, and yet still believing, still understanding that God is great, that he's still on the throne, that things are still going to be okay. It's the guy who can, you know, say to this mountain, you know, be moved into the sea. That kind of faith. This faith that believes the big things. He goes on and says that there are those who have the gift of healing. And healing is simply the ability to cure or restore. It's the ability, the capacity to cause someone to get better. So when we prayed for Katie this morning, and when you lay hands on somebody, you're actually praying for a cure. You're praying that there would be a miraculous intervention of God. If you're a Christian and someone prays for your healing, guess what? You are always healed. Always. The Christian who prays for another Christian is always healed. Every single time. Don't shake your head at me. It is the absolute truth. There are 3 kinds of healing, right? The first is miraculous healing. That Katie, in the moment that we prayed for, I'm sorry, you're using news to point out, everybody look at Katie, okay? That when she's prayed for, God intervenes in a miraculous way and literally speeds up the process that her body is getting, eliminates the illness so that it's gone. It's what we saw Jesus do over and over again in the New Testament. That's one kind of healing. Do we have a bird in here? I was preaching once, it was one of my very first messages, and there was a bird flying all around through the chapel. Nobody heard a word I said, and this bird kept flitting around, and everybody was more interested in the bird than me. That also happened with new babies. Anytime we had a new baby in the church, nobody heard anything that I said. Of course, that's true every Sunday, probably. Anyway, the second type of healing is literally, you know, our bodies are designed to heal. They're designed actually to eliminate various healings, and through knowledge and understanding of medicine, we can help our bodies with that process, so that doctors and nurses and medical people can actually help us. We can reset a bone, you know. We can transplant a heart, you know. We can bring about healing in that way. And the third way that every Christian gets healed is through death. That we get to shed these corruptible, old, fleshly bodies that are breaking down and get new bodies, and we become completely healed. The prayer of healing is always, always answered. Always. So, but there are those, and the people that he is referring to here, who are able in this life, prior to death, to help people, to bring about healing, either miraculously or through the giftedness of medicine. He says that some are given the gift of miraculous power. That's the ability to bring something about through supernatural force. I read a story once when I was a kid about missionaries who were being literally hunted, and they were running and trying to get away in this jungle, and they came to this river, and they had no place to go. And so they were going to attempt to cross this river, and as they stepped out into the river, they were able to cross without getting wet. They walked on water just like Jesus. I was amazed as a child. If you read some of the newsletters or some of the stories that are coming out of the Middle East and that are happening all throughout the Muslim world right now, incredible things are happening. Things are taking place by miraculous power. And it is, it's pretty amazing. There are people who have experienced these things. I've never experienced anything like miraculous power. I've never walked on water or even seen anything, the water parted. But I know that throughout the history of the church, there have been those who have been given this miraculous power. He said some are given the gift of prophecy. Prophecy, as we talked about last week, and I think the week before too, is just simply he or she is a proclaimer. They proclaim this message that was given to them by God. They deliver a divine utterance. I have a message from the Lord. And they deliver that message either through preparation, like this morning, or spontaneously, where the Lord actually in a moment gives them a word. And prophecy involves two aspects. There is the foretelling, someone who actually predicts the future. They're given a message from God about something that is going to happen in the future. Or prophecy more often has to do with forthtelling. In other words, they are telling this truth of God. And most of the time, a prophet, his main goal is to call people to God, call people to come back to God, to come to God. And so the big message, even in the foretelling, even when they're given a prophecy about the future, it has to do with people coming back to God. You know, turn because judgment's coming, that kind of thing. He then talks about this gift of distinguishing between spirits. And this is coupled with prophecy, much in the same way that tongues and interpretations are coupled. So these last two are coupled gifts. So the person who has the gift of distinguishing spirits is that person who is able to distinguish between the Spirit of God and some other spirit, a false spirit, when it comes to the gift of prophecy. So when someone is giving a prophecy, they have the ability to go, no, I don't think so. Or, yeah, that confirmed that. That's from the Lord. But it can also relate to other circumstances as well. He says that there is this speaking in different kinds of tongues, literally speaking a foreign language. Someone who speaks a foreign language of some sort or another. It could be an ecstatic utterance, much like the pagans had, where there was just it's not an understandable language. I just went talking with a friend of mine, and he was talking about his growth in the Lord, and he had come to this point in his Christian life where he was deeply frustrated with the church. He said, I would go to church, and he goes, I would sit there, and he goes, I knew there was something more that was supposed to be happening, that there was supposed to be something greater happening within the body of Christ. And he goes, literally, I walked away every Sunday just a little angry, because I didn't sense the presence of Christ there, and I didn't sense the working of the Holy Spirit in the bodies that I visited and attended. And so he got involved in this one fellowship, and people were speaking in tongues, and they were having these marvelous moments of ecstatic utterance. And he longed for a filling of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way, and went to the altar, began to pray, asking the Lord to fill him with the Holy Spirit. And he just felt empty. He felt devoid of connection to God. And the service was drawing to an end. He's still at the altar, still praying that God would visit him in some way, crying out to him. And people began to leave the service, and finally there were just a handful of people who were left. And he'd been at the altar, he told me, somewhere between 30 and 60 minutes, just waiting upon the Lord, moments of crying out, he said, just about the point that everybody else was gone, he said, all of a sudden I opened my mouth to tell somebody that I was getting ready to go.